Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. I was kind of wondering where to go this morning, and I just felt, honor Jesus, just honor Jesus, just honor Jesus. And that's what I want to do. I just want to honor Jesus. We're in this Christmas season, and it's not about our gifts, it's not about our holidays. It's supposed to be about Him. And so I just want to honor Jesus today. I want to lift up the name of Jesus today. And as we just look at this word here, I pray that that will do that and will accomplish that fact that Jesus will be lifted up in this place and He will be glorified. So Matthew chapter 1, part of the Christmas story. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the reason for this season. And Jesus, we do want to honor you. We want to exalt you because you do have a name that's above all other names. And so, Lord, in this place, we would like to honor you. We want to honor the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, as we just look to ourselves, and not just simply a message, but, Lord, as we would look to ourselves through these next few weeks of this Christmas season, God, we want to honor you. So, Jesus, would you help us to honor the name of Jesus in this Christmas season? We ask that in your name. Amen. Well, this morning we read one of the accounts of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting as you read that birth, you know, sometimes people start reading that and saying, oh, as if that there would be a virgin and she would become pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of people out there that doubt that as soon as they start to read it, but they don't bother to read a couple verses down the line there where it says this had been prophesied over 1,000 years before. And see, the people of Israel at that time, they were looking for that very thing to happen, that a virgin would conceive a child. And it's interesting that throughout the Bible, the Lord prepares, there's a picture all the way through the Bible, and He prepares for the events to happen. And one of those events, of course, is the birth of Christ. And the birth of Christ is really, as you look to the Bible, it's like there's a giant arrow, and it all points to one person. It points to Jesus. And it's a birth that the world still celebrates as Christmas here, although it isn't facing increasing pressures today to remove our celebration and to simply make it a winter holiday. And so for Merry Christmas, that we're supposed to say Happy Holidays. And you know, all in the name of being politically correct and making sure that we don't offend anybody, which is pure foolishness. Christmas is an historical event. You can't deny that it did not happen, because it did. It's an historical fact that Christmas happened, that Jesus Christ came to this earth. And as we look at the nation of Canada, it says that 73% of us of this nation say that we're Christians. So it's time to stop being silent and start declaring that Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I really felt blessed driving around town. And if you just drive up 81 Highway, You, of course, you have the most famous decorations in our town. And if you haven't done so, you should take a drive up there, or even as you come in this evening, and look at the decorations there and that yard. But you'll see a manger scene. He's not trying to hide it. It's out there, nice bright colors. And I was just driving home, and I happened to notice there was a lot of manger scenes. And I was thinking, way to go, St. Paul. Way to go that, you know, you're not relying on the pressures of what they're trying to say politically correct. And you're saying, I'm putting a manger out there. It's almost like there's more people putting that out. And I think that is so awesome. And I really felt blessed about that. And last night we were at the Christmas celebration of the Filipinos of our Lakeland. And we had our MLA there, Hanson. And, you know, he didn't come up there and say, well, happy holidays. No, he said, Merry Christmas. And our mayor, as he spoke to them, Mr. Anderson, he didn't come up there and say, well, happy holidays. He said, Merry Christmas. I was thinking, yeah, it's good to hear that from those even in our political offices that they're saying, Merry Christmas. Because if you take the Christ out of Christmas, I kind of saw that on Facebook, all you got left is a mess, right? So we need to keep Christ in our Christmas. We need to bless Him. We need to lift up that name. We need to honor Him above all others. And you know, more has been written about Jesus than any other person in all of history. And we're celebrating an event that has superior proof, more science and more facts than anything else in history. It really is. So as we celebrate the Christ at Christmas, you're celebrating somebody who is very real. And I rejoice in that. See, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Christ of Christmas. I believe that He is God's only Son. I believe that He is God in the flesh. I believe that He is the way to the Father. I believe that He is the way to heaven, to eternity. I believe that He is our Savior, our Lord, our King, our Master, our God. I believe that He's the life, the truth, and the way. So as you come in this Christmas season, why Jesus? Why Jesus? I was kind of asking myself, why Jesus in this Christmas season? Well, there's all kinds of awesome proofs that Jesus is who He said He was. And that He really is and should be the focus of our Christmas season. And so I just want to look quickly at some of those proofs that are out there that talk about Jesus. I'm not going to go into detail on all of them, but just throw some of them out there because some of those things we obviously know. But one of the first reasons why we should be believing that that Jesus should be part of our Christmas is that it is an historical truth. It is fact. It really did happen. And it's a fact of history. I don't know why people keep trying to tell us that, oh, it didn't really happen. Are you kidding me? It's history. It's been recorded in books by reputable historians that we get our history from, and they refer to Jesus. And it's also interesting that there's even some books out there or some papers that get out there that, you know, they don't represent Christ right, and they're not reputable historians. And yet, you know, they say some terrible things about Jesus, and that's where you get some of these wackos that start talking about some wacko things that Jesus did that He didn't do, because they're looking at things that even regular historians throw out. But anyway, I find it interesting because they're still mentioning the fact that Jesus came to this earth. It's a fact. It's truth. And so when we look at this whole season of Christmas, you know, we should be rejoicing because it is an historical fact. You don't have to be a brain scientist to figure that out. It's recorded in our history books over and over and over again. Not just in the Bible, but all kinds of other books by reputable historians talking about Jesus. Secondly, why Jesus? Well, we have the proof of Scripture. These very Scriptures that we hold in our hand. These are very precious, precious words. You need to read them. Why Jesus? Well, it's the proof of the Scriptures. This Bible that we have is a big arrow that points to Jesus. Now, it's really interesting that how over 40 different authors over 1,500 years could possibly keep a theme together. But of course, they did do that because of what? Divine inspiration. God breathed, the Bible says, upon them and gave them that knowledge, gave them what to write. And they wrote this book through 1,500 years. And it's still a giant book with a giant arrow that still points to Jesus Christ. The accuracy is unbelievable. There's multiple manuscripts that continue to tell us and say that this book that we have before us is a true book. And they say that the accuracy is around that 97% still today from the original manuscripts. And that rest of that kind of those, that 2% is a lot of things like things like that. And so, you know, we can be confident that what we have here is indeed the Word of God. And this Word tells us and points to a person called Jesus. It's also amazing that every year this book is a bestseller. Every year this is a bestseller. 44 million copies usually every year. Over 4 billion copies have been distributed. It's quite an awesome book. But if you can imagine, every year it's a bestseller. Not just once in a while that it hits there, but every year it's been a bestseller. That's pretty awesome. The Bible is a proven book, carefully translated from the highest standards, and it's confirmed as true from reputable copies of the Bible, such as the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Bible proves Jesus. It talks about him from the very beginning to the very end. It's like a giant arrow that points to Jesus Christ. 30, why Jesus? Well, we have the proof of science. Science continues to prove Jesus and that the Bible is true. Remember some years ago, we watched this video about the Star of Bethlehem. And they went through astrology and the study of science and the study of stars. And they were able to take us back in time, because you can do that with the study of stars, which blows my mind away, to the exact places, such as when the sun stood still, that there's time missing. Where Jesus was born, where there was a star, I believe it was Saturn, that shined brightly at that time. And they can do all this and confirm what the Scripture's been saying all along. So that's pretty cool. I like the series Good or God and John Bevere. If you missed that series, you really missed a good series. And he referred to some more science that just, you know, kind of lifts up the name of Jesus. And he referred to the science of probability, that proving that Jesus is indeed who he said he was. And a study was done by Professor Peter Stoner, and you can read this in his book, along with 600 science students from 12 different classes, and they examined the probability of one person, Jesus Christ, being able to fulfill the prophecies of the Messiah. Now, in the Bible, there's over 300 prophecies that refer to the Messiah. Jesus Christ fulfilled all of them. All of them. All of them. See, some people, the skeptics will say, well, there's other people that could fulfill some of these prophecies in history. So this man said, well, let's just check that out. Let's find out if that is true. And they say, let's take eight prophecies of Jesus Christ to see what is the probability or the chance that one person could fulfill just eight, let alone 300. So they began to do that. The eight prophecies that they referred to and that they did the study on, where the first one was Christ to be born in Bethlehem. That was prophesied. Christ to be preceded by a messenger. That was John the Baptist. Christ to enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Christ, number four, Christ to be betrayed by a friend. Number five, Christ to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Number six, the money for which Christ is sold to be thrown into God's temple. Number seven, Christ to be silent before his accusers. Number eight, Christ to be executed by crucifixion as a thief. Now, he only took those eight out of 300 and said, well, let's look at the probability that just one person could fill even just eight. And it was, I thought it was quite interesting, because as they did that science of probability and they worked it all out and said that the chances or the probability of that happening would be 1 and 10 to the 17th power. In other words, 17 zeros. There, one with 17 zeros following it. That's the chances. That would be the odds that there could be one person that could fill just 8. We're not talking about the 300 that Christ fulfilled, just 8. And that would be the odds. And then he kind of put it down into a little more understandable language. He said, well, that would be like if each number was a silver dollar, and all those silver dollars, 17 zeros of silver dollars, that if you ever place them or could have them, that would fill the state of Texas 2 feet thick. And it's saying that how if you marked one of those coins, that would be the chances that one person could all of a sudden jump into the middle of the state of Texas, reach in the ground, and grab that one coin. That's the kind of odds that would be. That's just saying how wonderful our Lord is. And then they thought, well, maybe we should take this study a little bit further. Let's look at what if someone could fill 14 of those 300 prophecies. And as they worked out on that and the laws of probability, they came to the fact that that number would be 10 to the 45th power. So, a 10 and then 45 more zeros. I don't even know what that would be. But anyway, they kind of put it down into, more layman terms like myself to kind of figure that out. And they said, well, again, if you use that as silver dollar, each number was a silver dollar, that would form a sphere 60 times greater than the distance from the earth to the sun. That's pretty cool, eh? That's your probability. So, a sphere that big, and again, you send a spacecraft in there and land on there, reach your hand in and grab one of them coins. That's the probability. Let's go a little bit further, they said. Let's look at 48 of the 300 prophecies. And then they said that would be the number of 10 to the 157th power. So you get the idea that our Jesus is so remarkable, is so wonderful. There's no one else. The probability that anyone else could fill that is just beyond the universe. It's beyond the universe. Only Jesus did that. And not only did he just fill a few, he fulfilled all of them. All of them. All of them. So even science is pointing to us that, hey, this Jesus is real, folks. Like there is no way, there's no mathematical way that he could not be who he said he was, because look what he's already done. So that's the Jesus that we serve at this Christmas season. He blows science away, actually. Fourthly, why Jesus? We look at the proof of archaeology. The study of life and culture through excavations of ancient cities and artifacts and ruins. And again, there's amazing proofs out there throughout the centuries that the Bible is true, that Jesus is true, and there's discoveries that continue to happen all the time and showing us that this book that we have in our hands, this Jesus that we proclaim and believe in, is indeed true, and you can count on him. No other book, no other person has so many ancient artifacts that have been found and to have proven that Jesus is who he said he is. But if you can go to Israel, you can be in the literal places where Jesus was. You can actually go to the Garden of Gethsemane. You can go to the tomb, which is still empty, by the way. And you can go to where he was crucified. You can see all the places where Jesus was. You can literally walk on the ground that Jesus walked on. It's amazing. It's amazing. You can go down into the dungeons where Jesus was taken into Caiaphas's house, and they put him down there in dungeon. You can see blood mixed into that wall still today. It's amazing. But Jesus is real. You can look at the Dead Sea Scrolls. They have a beautiful place there that you can go into, and all these scrolls are all around. It's a huge room, almost as large as this sanctuary, that you can go into, and all these scrolls are in there. And then they have some of them laid out that you can see, and they translate them for you and read them of the very Word of God. Friends, archaeology is proving Jesus all the time. All the time. No other religion, no other person has ever even come close to being supported by archaeology as our Jesus has. Another reason, why Jesus? Well, let's look at the proof of changed lives. How many people have we observed personally where Jesus Christ made a difference in their lives? How many books have you read? How many books have you seen of stories of individuals whose lives have been transformed and changed by the power of Christ? They're all over that. There's millions of books out there written of people testifying of what Jesus Christ has done for them. There's millions of followers in this world, but you know, that's not the big proof. Changed lives are when you see a life that has been changed by the power of Christ. You can think back to this past year in our own church, our testimonies, baptisms, and we had numbers of people testifying what Jesus Christ had done, and some of them were just remarkable testimony, unbelievable testimonies. And there are testimonies in this church, if we could be, you know, really share, but a lot of them are so personal, you just can't really kind of throw them all out there. But it's amazing what God has done. Jesus has changed lives. It's a testimony. Why Jesus and Christmas? Because Jesus changes lives. He's real. Number six, why Jesus? We have the proof of a personal encounter with Christ. We're talking about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You just heard a man, Don, as he was sharing here that, you know, I knew about God and knew things about God, but it wasn't until I came to this church that I finally made a connection with God, and then I had that experience with God. And friends, once you have an experience with Jesus Christ, a true experience with Christ, you should never go back. You really shouldn't. Should never, never go back, because you experience something that God desires for all of us, a personal encounter with Christ. The peace that you can feel at that time, the joy that you can feel, the freedom that you can feel, the dreams, the visions, that personal encounter, just sensing the presence of God. You know, a lot of times we get people that come to the church, and some of them actually tell us, I can't go to your church, Pastor. I said, well, why can't you go? Is there a problem? Well, yes, I cry all the time. I said, oh, that's normal. That's just normal. It is. I said, yes, that's normal. People, lots of people cry. I said, they're just experiencing God. And I said, that's okay. That's okay if you have to cry. I said, you know, some people, they get a little excited. They go to the other, you know, side there. I said, but it's just people experiencing God. It's wonderful. Is he real? Yeah, because I've experienced him. You know, there was an old hymn, those who are my age or older, they would remember that song, He Lives, He Lives. And it says in that chorus part, you ask me how, I know he lives within my heart. And once you got Jesus in your heart and you sense him and you feel him there, you don't need science and everything else to prove things to you. You know that you know that you know, because he lives inside of you. That's proof. And then lastly, why Jesus? Well, we have the proof of what the Bible says, as we already said earlier, that we have the proof of the accuracy of this book, that it is a proven book. So if it is a proven book, then the words that are being spoken in this book are also true. And listen to the words that they speak about Jesus. And I just want to refer to some scriptures here now. There's just some powerful verses there that talk about Jesus. The Bible says, this proven book says about Jesus. Ephesians 1, 21, 22. It should be on the screen there. It says, now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Isn't that awesome? He's far above any ruler or authority or power. Why Jesus? Because he is above all those things. Every king, every authority in this world, Jesus is above that. Every authority in the unseen world that we don't see, he's above all of that. There is no one greater than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 9, 11. Listen to what it says. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. That's the name. It's a name that's above every other name. And so when you look at other names that are out there in the world today and people give high esteem to the Lord, this word of God is telling us there's a name that's above every other name. And it's the name of Jesus. Oh, in this Christmas season, let's talk about him, because it's a name that's above every other name. And we look a little bit more, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else. Because God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Just makes sense. If He is a name that's above all other names, then what's the name we should be looking to? That we might be saved, that we might be transformed, that we might enter into heaven. Obviously, the name of Jesus. Jesus Himself says in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I know politically today we need to say, oh, there are many ways to God. There are many ways that you might enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the Bible tells us there's only one name. The name that's above every other name. Why would you want to look to some other name? That's not the name of Jesus, when His name's above all those other names. When He has all power and all authority. Why would you look anywhere else? It's the name of Jesus. Why can we say Jesus? Because of history and scripture and science and archaeology and changed lives, personal encounters, and the very words of the Bible. So as we're in this season as Christmas, let's elevate Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's acknowledge Jesus, because He is the name that's above all names. He is greater than all others. He is our Savior. He is our God. And we need to celebrate Him, because He is the person that has superior proof, undeniable facts, more science, more changed lives than any other person in all of the history of the world. Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is about Jesus. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's not get caught up in all the other things. Let's not get caught up with what the world tells. No, you need to do this. You need to, you need to be careful. No, let's lift up the name of Jesus. He has the name that's above every other name. There's no one higher. He has all authority, all power. The Bible says every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. One day it's going to happen. Everyone's going to have to come to that place. Doesn't matter what you've worshipped in your past. The Lord says one day you're going to come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you're going to have to get on your knees and say, yes, Jesus is Lord. Yes, Jesus is indeed the reason for the season. Jesus is what Christmas is really all about. Amen.